1% of people will ever play professional football, but instead of entering in the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of what's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, 4 to 6 episodes a week, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform. It could be Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. We are available on every single platform. No other Eagles podcast is posting as many episodes as myself, Louis DiBiase, and my co-host, Gino Camilleri, and we also post every episode on LockedOnEagles.com as well. We did Stock Up, Stock Down yesterday, Week 8. We did on Monday a full game recap of the Eagles' win on Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys to remain in first place in the NFC East, and today we're going to get into the quarterback. We're going to get into Carson Wentz, as we do every Wentz Wednesday. We're talking about a quarterback in Carson that has just struggled the past 2 weeks and regressed back into who we saw the first 3 weeks of the season against Washington, Los Angeles, and Cincinnati. We thought that slump was over right after strong performances against San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and then against two defenses that he should have lit up in the New York Giants on Thursday Night Football and then the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Wentz regressed, and he looked like the player we had seen to start the year. And this is the first time, I think, in Wentz's career. I think this is the worst season he's having. Completion percentage, he's 31st in the league right now. 29th in yards per attempt. 28th in QBR. 30th in passer rating. DVOA, an efficiency stat from the Football Outsiders, 31st. His PFF overall grade is 33rd in the league right now. He also has the most turnover-worthy plays in the NFL. He's having the worst season of his career, and this is the first time in his career, even his rookie year, Carson Wentz did not have multiple slumps where he was among the league's worst quarterbacks. That is what we've seen now two different times, two separate occasions this season, the first 3 weeks of the season and the last two. And so you got to just call a spade. Right now, Wentz is not a good quarterback. No doubt he's regressed. He has regressed accuracy-wise, efficiency-wise, mechanically. But what I'll say here leading into segment one of the Locked On Eagles podcast, Wentz Wednesday, is that with everything I just said being true, he has regressed again. Twice now this has happened this year where Wentz is in a really, really bad slump. His numbers look terrible. He's having the worst year of his career. What I'll say to that, though, however, is that I don't think benching him is the answer, at least not yet. Because, as I said, you saw Wentz have the ability to bounce back from that three-week slump. You saw what he could do against, and he did it. He bounced back against some really tough defenses and on big stages. Sunday night against the San Francisco 49ers. Then in Pittsburgh against a top-five defense in the Steelers. And then another top-five defense the next week. You're down by, what, 3 scores in the fourth quarter against Baltimore, and you lead the team all the way back to where a 2-point conversion ties the football game and sends the game into overtime. You saw him bounce back late against the Cincinnati Bengals week 3, tying that game with that rushing touchdown and almost getting the win in overtime, where right now, instead of being 3-4-1, you're 4-4. You saw him bounce back even 2 weeks ago against the New York Giants with 2 70-plus-yard touchdown drives with only 4 minutes to go to win that football game and grab first place in the NFC East. And so what I'll say to that, all that regression talk, is that it is true. 100% it is true. Regardless of all the issues around this team that are not helping Wentz, that are holding him back, the injuries, the bad coaching, the bad play on defense, the drops early on in the year, regardless of all that, Carson Wentz on his own has not been good enough. Carson Wentz is an issue that's holding this team back as much as this team is holding him back. But the solution to me, because that's the next thing we got to talk about. Okay, that's all true. Now what do you do? I don't think the solution is benching him, at least not yet. Look, if it continues for the next, you know, when the Eagles come back from a bye week, if Wentz puts up another stinker against the Giants and then they just lose every game against that really tough stretch of opponents in Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona, and this team misses the playoffs or, you know, they're out of it, eventually, yeah, you do sit him down and you play Jalen Hurts. But because I've already seen him this season, not just in the past slumps of his career, which he's also bounced back from pretty good, I've seen him do it this year against really tough opponents, and so that's why I don't say you should bench Wentz yet. Again, he's been able to bounce back consistently out of slumps throughout his career, and I think right now you're looking like you're going to make the playoffs. Vegas has the Eagles with a 67% chance of winning the NFC East right now, and so you're probably going to be playing into January, and to me, looking at this team right now, the only way you have a chance of doing damage when you get there, of having a chance against, I mean, look, you're not going to play Pittsburgh and Baltimore unless you get to the Super Bowl, but that caliber of talent, right, in the NFC, you could see Seattle again. You're going to see these teams later on this year, Arizona, Green Bay, New Orleans. For you to have a chance at beating those football teams right now, considering the state of the roster and the coaching staff and the team as a whole, you have to have Carson Wentz playing. You have to have him playing really good football, or else you're going to be one and done. Or you might not even win the division at all, honestly. I mean, you're in first place right now still, but you have division opponents still coming up in Dallas again this year, New York in 2 weeks, Washington again. And so you need Carson Wentz to be on the football field for you to have a chance. Even the Carson Wentz that you've seen the last 2 weeks, I still think gives you a better chance of winning these games down the stretch to win the division and potentially winning a playoff game or two. And so that's where I'm at, is that eventually I'm not somebody that says no matter what, do not bench Carson Wentz this year. I'm not somebody that will never hold him accountable. I'm holding him accountable for sure. I just don't think the solution right now is to sit him down. Even if it's a McNabb 2008 like benching, I just don't think that's the right move right now. If you see that he's just not progressing and he's not getting better after the bye week and that this is a slump that's going to last a long time, then okay, yeah, maybe that's the next move, is to sit him down like they did Donovan in 2008 and play Kevin Cobb, or this year's Kevin Cobb would be Jalen Hurts. But again, this year, after the first 3 weeks of the season, last year, after the games against Seattle and New England, 2018, in the middle of the season, once he got to London, that game against Jacksonville, even in 2016, after that tough stretch against New York, Cincinnati, Baltimore, you saw in all of those slumps throughout Carson's career, he followed that up by playing some high-level football, some high-quality football, and you saw that again this year. So based on just the past trends, I would not, if I'm trying to fix Carson Wentz right now and not move forward full-time with Jalen Hurts, because that's not what they're going to do, Carson is their quarterback, if I'm trying to find a solution to fixing number 11, then right now I don't think that's benching him. And I'm kind of worried about what benching him right now would do. Because, look, Jalen Hurts, I don't think, even if Wentz didn't pan out in Philadelphia within the next couple years, I don't think Jalen Hurts is the long-term, you know, plan B. I think you would draft somebody else to be your franchise quarterback. But what I will say is the style that Jalen Hurts plays, he's a mobile quarterback. He's a quarterback that has won big games at the college level. I will say I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Hurts came in kind of like a Nick Foles spot start Mariano Rivera-esque closer in the second half of the season. Would I be surprised if he looked good for a couple games? Not at all. And so I'm kind of worried about that, because you got to be prepared for what that brings. What that brings is a quarterback controversy. In the city of Philadelphia, you are dying for a quarterback controversy. This city loves a quarterback controversy. They don't want to be happy with their starting quarterback. That's just my conclusion after seeing what happened with McNabb and now with Carson Wentz. And you see the national media feed off of that. They would love it. And also, if Hurts looked really good and they're winning football games in the second half of the year, let's say they sit Wentz down for a game or two and Hurts goes in and let's say he beats Seattle or he beats New Orleans or Green Bay, you better be prepared for benching Wentz and what that could mean. What that can mean is a quarterback controversy. And now you have to ask the question, are you okay with that? Because eventually, look, eventually, yes. If Hurts looks really good and Carson Wentz just isn't getting better, then there deserves to be a controversy. Not saying eventually it wouldn't be justified. But right now, let's say you sat down Wentz and Jalen Hurts played against the Giants, right? Let's say that was the hypothetical move that Doug Peterson made during this bye week. And Hurts looks really good against the Giants. Are you prepared for that kind of controversy over 3.5 bad Carson Wentz games? That's the question you have to ask. Eventually the quarterback controversy could be justified, but after 3.5 bad games in 2020, are you ready to potentially create that sort of chaos? Are you done with Carson Wentz? Because if you're not, to me, that is not the solution right now. Eventually, I'm not saying it isn't on the table, but right now, based on the track record of Wentz, the trends of his career when he plays like this, when he's in these kind of situations, and based on what Jalen Hurts looking good for just a game or two could do, I would say you got to keep rolling with number 11. Until he gives you just no reason to keep him on the football field, you've got to, for the rest of the season, go with Carson Wentz because of all those reasons I said, and also because, again, I just think he gives you the best chance of actually doing damage once you make the playoffs. I don't want to be this 7-8-1 team that then gets blown out in the wild card round and the whole league is laughing at you. And so with Carson Wentz, I don't think the league is ever going to be laughing at you. And even with Hurts, even if he looked good for a couple games, I just don't think over a 16-game stretch, I don't think in the postseason, he gives you a better chance than Carson. So I'm avoiding all of that kind of chaos right now, and I'm still rolling with Wentz. That doesn't, you know, get him off the hook. It doesn't justify how bad he's been playing, for sure. He has had the worst first half of his career in 5 seasons ever right now. I mean, this is a career low for Carson Wentz. But the solution to fixing him, again, I don't think is benching him. Louis DiBiase joining you on the Locked On Eagles podcast. This is Wentz Wednesday and sponsored by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, it's the refreshment you need to power through any game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. If you missed the other two episodes this week, our recap of the win against Dallas, that was recorded on Monday, and then yesterday we did Stock Up, Stock Down. Those are available on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. So segment one here of Wentz Wednesday, I talked about how Wentz is having the worst first half of the season of his career. You know, the Eagles are halfway through the season now, 3-4-1 through 8 games. They have a bye week. That was the worst stretch Wentz has ever had in his career. Again, completion percentage 31st in the league right now, yards per attempt 29th, QBR 28th, passer rating 30th, DVOA 31st, PFF grade 33rd. He's got the most turnover-worthy plays in football. He has regressed now twice this year where he's in this career low like slump. Accuracy wise, efficiency wise, mechanically, confidence, just everything right now is in the shitter again for Carson, like it was the first 3 weeks of the season. That is all 100% correct on his own. You know, obviously it's not helping. The coaching staff's not helping. The injuries aren't helping. The defense, the inconsistent play on defense isn't helping. But Carson Wentz on his own just has not been good enough. We talked about, though, in segment one, I don't think benching him is the answer based on how he's been able to get out of slumps in the past, including in 2020, based on what a quarterback controversy could do to this team right now. Is it worth that right now after 3.5 bad games from Wentz, or maybe you could say 4, right? No, maybe I'm being too easy on him. The first 3 weeks of the season, then the last two. Okay, yeah, so a 5-game stretch. Is 5 bad Carson Wentz games worth starting the potential chaos that would come if Jalen Hurts looks good for a couple games. And I don't think you're there yet. Not saying you can't be there eventually, even this season, but I am not ready to sit Wentz down on the bench, even in a McNabb 2008-like statement by Doug Peterson that Andy Reid made 12 years ago. I just think you got to let him work through it, like other star quarterbacks have worked through in the past. I think Carson Wentz, I tweeted this out yesterday, Carson Wentz is a very good football player that is just playing really bad right now. He's not a bad player that's showing his true colors. Carson Wentz is a very good player that's playing very bad. He's not a bad player that's just being who he is. And he's not the first star quarterback, and I'm going to call him a star still. I still think he's one of the best quarterbacks in football when he's at, you know, his highest level of play. He's not the first quarterback, a really good one, that's had slumps, that's had bad seasons, that's had, you know, bad five-game stretches throughout his career. Carson hasn't had a lot of those, and so I think that we hold him to a certain standard, and we should. We certainly should. If you're going to pay a guy $100 million, you should hold him to a standard. But even the best of the best, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning when he was playing, Andrew Luck, I have a chart here I want to talk about where even the greatest quarterbacks in football have tough stretches. Aaron Rodgers has had tough stretches throughout his career. When you play for 10 to 15 to 20 years at times, not every single season is going to be Patrick Mahomes in 2018 where you throw 51 touchdowns. You're going to have tough stretches and slumps. That doesn't mean suddenly, though, that you're not the player that the league thought you were, that you're not the answer still to a team's issues at the position. You got to let these guys work through it. The minute a quarterback struggles, the city of Philadelphia at times would just say you instantly trade him away or bench him. That's just not the way it works when you have a talent like Carson Wentz. You have to let that player work through it. And yes, eventually you have to hold him accountable. If that slump lasts for an entire season or two, yeah, eventually you have to move on, but not after five games. Not after five bad games of eight. There's other quarterbacks throughout their careers, star quarterbacks, that have had these kind of slumps. Cam Newton, the year after winning MVP in 2016, through the first 13 games of the season, he had a 73 rating, 18 total touchdowns, and 13 turnovers. And that was after a great MVP season where he made the Super Bowl at 15-1. Andrew Luck in 2015, one of the best quarterbacks in football when he was on the Colts before he retired. Through the first seven games, he had a similar stretch to Wentz right now. A 74.9 rating, 15 total touchdowns, and 13 total turnovers. By the way, this research was all done by Max over at Eagles Brawl. I want to give him a shout out on Twitter. I saw him use this chart, and I really wanted to talk about it because it's the exact argument that I'm making here. Cam Newton, after an MVP season, struggled. Andrew Luck, 3 years into his career, after showing, like Wentz has, that he's a top-tier quarterback, had a slump in 2015. Donovan McNabb, after 2004, that MVP-like season where he got the Eagles to the Super Bowl, in 2005, through the first seven games of the season, 78.5 rating, 11 touchdowns to 8 total turnovers. Peyton Manning, and these are all after incredible years, and they still bounce back. That's why I don't like when people say that Carson Wentz's 2017 was a mirage and that he'll never get back to that. I disagree. I think right now what you're seeing is more of the outlier. And you see the track record of all these star quarterbacks. That's also more proof of that. These guys had incredible historic seasons followed by slumps, and they got out of those slumps to still go on to be elite quarterbacks. Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Donovan McNabb, Peyton Manning, after a near undefeated 2009 season, in 2008, the first eight games of the season, 78.6 rating, 13 touchdowns to 15 total turnovers. Then you saw what Peyton Manning did a couple years later in Denver, one of the greatest quarterback seasons ever in 2013. Big Ben, the year he won the Super Bowl, in 2008, Ben Roethlisberger, the first nine games of the year, a 75.4 rating, 11 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. Did the Steelers move on from Big Ben? Should they have? Was the entire national media calling for that? Was a huge, loud chunk of the fan base calling for that? Would that have been the right move? No. Look at Big Ben right now, to this day, is still a really good quarterback. The Steelers are the only undefeated team in football. Should the Colts have moved on from Peyton Manning after 2010 if he didn't get hurt? You saw what he did in Denver? Probably not. Andrew Luck in 2015, should the Colts have moved on? McNabb after 2004, should the Eagles have? Cam Newton after 2016? Cam Newton went on to have a really good 2017, and he was an early MVP favorite in 2018. Those were really good players in really bad slumps. They weren't really bad players confirming to us who they are. And I think that's the same thing right now with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, like Cam Newton in 2016, like Andrew Luck in 2015, like Donovan McNabb in 2004, like Peyton Manning in 2009, like Big Ben in 2008, Carson Wentz is a really, really good quarterback that's in the worst slump of his career. Now, what do? You let him play through it. You don't give him years and years, but you give him right now with the first place position that you're in, with the three-game stretch you saw already this year against San Fran, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, you give Carson Wentz the benefit of the doubt because you paid him $100 million because you saw over four seasons what he can do. You don't now, based on 2% of his entire career, make some crazy decision. That's where I'm at with Carson Wentz. Has he been awful this year for the majority of the season? You bet your ass. Now what's the solution? You don't sit him down. You work through this. Louis DiBiase joining you on Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And it's sponsored today by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. I don't even really like protein bars, but when I eat Built Bars, I feel like I'm eating a candy bar. I honestly would take those to the movie theater. They're top tier. They're a healthy alternative to my everyday snack. And they've got 18 awesome flavors, including, guys, 6 new ones. So my go-to with the originals, I like peanut butter brownie. I like orange vanilla. I like banana bread, too. That's a really good one. That's a fun, unique flavor. They got 6 new ones now as well. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Only 180 calories in every bar, 19 grams of protein in each bar as well. If you go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Locked On Eagles family, thank you for tuning in to this Wentz Wednesday edition of the show. Segment 3, we are wrapping up this edition of the podcast, getting into Carson Wentz and the slump that he's in once again for the second time this season after two uneasy performances against the Giants and Dallas Cowboys. Even though against the Giants he led the team back down 11 points with 270-plus yard touchdown drives. For 90% of the last two games, he has looked really bad, like he did for the first 3 weeks of the season. We talked about what to do now in segments 1 and 2. Now I want to talk about, specifically, you heard me mention those stats about Wentz, where he has the most turnover-worthy plays in the NFL right now, where his completion percentage is just in the tubes. It's 31st in the league. His DVOA efficiency wise, he's 31st in the league. He's just not playing efficient football right now. He's not playing good football. He's not playing the football we're used to Carson Wentz playing. And it's interesting, I thought about this because, when we talk about what Wentz is struggling with right now, obviously I've mentioned a lot his mechanics. I'm bothered by his footwork. I'm bothered that every week his throwing motion seems different. Sometimes he tightens it up and he's super accurate, and then the next week it's the super windy, elongated throwing motion that we saw in 2016 and at North Dakota State, something that we thought we moved past. And where, so that's something that I've talked about a lot that I take issue with, but the majority of Wentz's struggles this year have come from when he's being aggressive, turning the football over, when he's, getting intercepted, or when he's just not knowing when to get rid of the ball and he's fumbling. I mean, Carson Wentz has the worst ball protection I've seen of any quarterback in 22 years, 23 years of watching the NFL. And so that's the big issue with Wentz right now, is the aggression. It's the turnovers. It's the efficiency when being aggressive. He is not being the efficient aggressor that he has been in the other four seasons of his career. And so that's a very fine line that he has to walk. And in the modern day NFL, you want a quarterback that's aggressive, that's pass heavy, that's mobile, right? I mean, that's what you need in the NFL today. What, 90% of the league now has a quarterback that can run under center? You want a guy that you can win because of every single year, not just win with, but win because of. And to do that, normally they have to have that aggression. They have to have the mobility and just the incredible physical talents that a Carson Wentz does have. you want to have a guy like that because every year your roster changes. You've seen it with the Eagles from the Super Bowl 2017 season up until 2020. The roster has been different and it's been ever changing every single week. That's just life in the NFL in a salary cap world. That's just life in sports. And so you want that one player because no matter what, if you have that one consistent guy, no matter what's around him, you can win because of that player. There's always a floor of success you can have every single year. You see teams every season getting rid of solid quarterbacks for the hopes of finding this kind of talent that I'm describing. And Wentz, again, the majority of Wentz's career, he's been that player that I'm describing. But again, when you're that style of player, when you're the aggressive, mobile quarterback that likes to succeed outside of structure at times, that kind of player has a very fine line to walk when it comes to knowing when to pick and choose your spots, right? When to be aggressive, when to never say die, and then when to say die, when to get rid of the ball, when to throw it out of bounds. That's a very fine line to walk because there's times you don't want them to give up because then you don't get, you know, the highlight reel plays that Wentz can pull off or Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson. But at the same time, you don't want to see them being aggressive just for the sake of being aggressive when there's nothing there. Then you have Jameis Winston, you have a Josh Allen, right? There's a difference, there's a very small difference, I think, between 2017 to 2019 Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and then Jameis Winston, Josh Allen, right? All those players have the same style. They have that aggressive mindset. They have the physical tools and the mobility and the ability to pull a rabbit out of the hat. They all have that one characteristic or a bunch of characteristics that makes that style of player. They all have that in them. What is the difference between those players? Because again, all of those aggressive quarterbacks think that have the ability to pull a rabbit out of the hat. They do it from time to time, even outside of structure. But the difference between a Winston and a Josh Allen at times, even though Allen has gotten a lot better at that in 2020 as well, the difference between those two players and what Carson Wentz is right now compared to Wentz the last 3 years, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, the difference is those first names that I'm talking about, Wentz, Mahomes, Wilson, at least Wentz again of the past, not Wentz this year, they know and they knew when not to do too much, knowing what situations they shouldn't force the issue. Their aggressive looks, you know, they always know when to pick and choose their battles, right? In life, that's just something that you got to do even off the football field. And their aggressive looks always were high quality. They were efficient looks. Whereas with a Winston, with an Allen, with Wentz this year, they were aggressive just like the other guys. But at times, you had no idea why they were being aggressive based on the situation on that drive of that game. And then you see the play, you see the pass they make, the play they try to make, and you try to get inside their brain and you can't find the logic of their pass attempt, of their aggression. You can't find the logic on that play. And that's the difference. That's the difference, is that even when Wentz the last 3 years was aggressive, and he pulled a rabbit out of a hat, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, you saw what they were looking at. It was an efficient, aggressive look. Whereas this year, I see like the two interceptions Carson Wentz made last week against Dallas. I see that first fumble. And you try, like, there's times where I'm okay with, you know, a turnover if they're aggressive and you've got the look, right? It's like in the NBA, if you shoot a three-pointer, you're wide open and you miss. I'm going to pat you on the ass and I'm going to say, good look, bro. I mean, like, I'm going to say that's a good shot. Because I understood the logic. But this year with Wentz, with Jameis Winston last year throwing 30-plus interceptions, you look at what they were trying to do, and it doesn't make any sense. Or even if there was a play that you could have pulled off, if you had like a 30% chance, sometimes I say with Carson Wentz, yeah, let it rip, because I know you have that ability in you, but not in certain game situations either. You don't just do that all the time. You shouldn't always be a gunslinger. I want you to be aggressive, but not in every single game. Situation, not in a situation last week against Dallas where you don't really have to do much to score on Dallas. They've given up the eighth most points of all time of any defense in football through the first 8 weeks of the season in league history. And you have the ball at midfield pretty much every single drive. At that point, you're being aggressive just to be aggressive. Carson Wentz was just forcing the issue on those two turnovers to Trayvon Diggs, on that fumble as well. He didn't have to make those, he didn't have to try to play hero and try to make those plays. against San Francisco this year, against Baltimore, against New York 2 weeks ago. Yeah, Carson, go all out. Don't worry about it. Play hero ball. We need you to do that to win this football game. But that wasn't the case last week against the Cowboys. Ben DiNucci was not beating the Eagles. And so with Wentz, he made it harder on that team than it had to be against a terrible football team. This terrible football team, this terrible defense, this terrible offense gave you the win. They gave you the win, and yet you only put up 15 offensive points on them, and it was a game for the majority of the game. When it shouldn't have been close, it should have been a blowout, considering the circumstances, the field position, the opponent on both sides of the football. But Carson Wentz being aggressive, a Jameis Winston-like aggression, not a Wentz of the past couple years aggression, or Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson, because of that, you almost lost that football game. And so that's a very fine line you have to walk when you're this kind of player, is knowing when to pick and choose, when to be aggressive, and also make sure that when you're aggressive, they're efficient looks. Carson Wentz the past 3 years hasn't been intercepted more than 7 times in a season. This year he has, but before this year, would we say Wentz was still aggressive? Yeah, absolutely. But he was efficient in the looks, where he looked like what the plays he was making were the same as Mahomes and Wilson and Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray this year. Whereas this year, he's still trying to make those kind of plays, but considering the game situations, considering the looks in which he's trying them, I'm seeing somebody way more like a Jameis Winston than I'm seeing the Carson Wentz of old, than I'm seeing the other top-tier talents at this position. 4 or 5 years, Carson has known when not to be aggressive, I think. He's known when to pick and choose to fight another down, when to just throw the ball away, or when to go all out and when to fight for it, when you need to make a play. He's been able to find that balance. And this year, he's not been able to find that balance. And even in the times where maybe it's okay to be aggressive, the plays that he's choosing to do it, I can't find the logic in these passing attempts, in these fumbles. And so that's what he's got to snap out of. And a lot of that is on coaching as well. The coaches keep saying every press conference, you know, we got to coach that out of him. We'll do it already. I'm tired of hearing it in the press conferences. Carson Wentz too. I'm tired of hearing him say, I got to play smarter. We know you can do it. You're one of the smartest quarterbacks in football. You're probably, I mean, Brian Westbrook said it, that somebody within the front office told him that Carson Wentz is the smartest quarterback that this organization has ever seen. So we know he has the ability. We've seen it 4 or 5 years. Stop saying it during the press conferences. It's a very fine line to walk for sure. You know, there's going to be times where he makes a boneheaded play, but I'm okay with it if it's an efficient look, and if I know the majority of the time, you know when to fight and when not to. And this year, it just looks like Wentz is just very tunnel vision, Russell Westbrook-esque, if you will, NBA comparison, where every play is do or die, when it doesn't have to be. And that's the issue, is that normally Carson has been able to find that balance. He's been able to be self-aware. This year, he looks a lot like Jameis Winston in that department. Way more than he looks like Carson Wentz. Louis DiBiase joining you on Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. That's going to do it for today's edition of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform, 4 to 6 episodes a week. Download it into your phone when you subscribe, and you can also check out every episode on LockedOnEagles.com as well. I'm always talking birds on Twitter after the show too, at DiBiase. L-O-E. We'll see you tomorrow. Midseason awards we're going to do tomorrow, actually, on the podcast. Until then, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.